ghosts, ghouls, and things that go bump in the night. You know, I think we've all been guilty of searching the internet out of pure boredom in the last year or so. But today's story is a great reminder of why we shouldn't let curiosity get the best of us. So go ahead, pull up a chair, get comfy, and settle in for I Saw Something Using MapCrunch. Hello. First, I suppose I should explain what MapCrunch is so you can understand the context of why I'm currently freaking out. MapCrunch is one of those weird websites on the internet that doesn't really do anything. It basically takes the user to random places on Google Street View just to waste time. With that out of the way, allow me to start from the beginning. The other day, while I was sending out resumes to random now hiring ads, I decided to take a break and look at something else online to relax. I ended up looking at weird and obscure website lists, but kept finding the usual websites like The Nicest Place on the Planet and Hypnotoad, things I've already seen and used a few times before. Then, at the bottom of a list of websites, I saw MapCrunch. Interested, I clicked on it. At first, it was pretty neat, seeing random places and people through the view of a picture taken however long ago, but eventually, this too became boring. Rather, it was becoming boring, until I saw something strange in the background of one of the pictures. As many of you know, Google Maps offers a 360-degree viewing range, which is probably why I didn't notice it, him, at first. In the background of a picture of a rural area in what seemed to be the middle of Asia was a man who stood nearly 8 feet tall by my estimation. He was quite far back, so I couldn't see more than an outline, but he seemed to be facing away from me. I became quite unsettled, as you may imagine, but shrugged it off and just hit go again, not really excited to see what came up, but more so to just get that person off of my screen. I was now in what looked like Tokyo, and I began to look around. I happened to look up for a moment. I can't remember what caused me to do so. And there he was again, standing on top of a roof on a random building in Tokyo. I can't remember exactly what I said, but I think it was something along the lines of, "What the hell?" After a moment of hesitation, I clicked the go button again, this time teleporting to NYC, right near the base of some tall skyscrapers. I began looking around desperately, trying to find the creature, and just when I thought I'd finally rid myself of him, I saw it. He was standing significantly closer now, close enough that I could see it looked like a man, but not? His arms and legs were too long for his torso, and his veins bulged on his arms under what appeared to be a white polo shirt. His clothes, in fact, added to the question of who exactly this was. He wore a white polo shirt, long khaki slacks, black sneakers, and a wallet with a chain on it. The pants looked dirty, but the shirt seemed more or less clean. His hair was a mess of brown, combed, but not recently. As I sat there thinking about what was going on, my girlfriend came into the room. "John, what do you think we should do for dinner tonight?" I think is what she asked. but to be honest, I wasn't really listening. "Steph, come look at this. It's weird," I said, not looking away from the screen. With a huff, she came over and looked over my shoulder. "What the heck? What website is that?" She scrolled up on my mouse wheel to zoom in on the creature and made a face of disgust. "It's a website where you go to random street views on Google Maps, I guess. Any idea what it is?" I looked up at her, and she looked thoughtful, staring at the screen. "Yeah, I bet it's a joke. One of those creepypasta things. It's just a scary nothing, I bet. You're supposed to be applying for jobs, John," she said flatly. I opened the email tab where I'd sent out roughly 30 applications. "I have. I'm just waiting on someone to reply." "All right, good. Anyway, I don't know what that thing is supposed to be, but that's my guess. So, what do we want for dinner?" And with that, the intrigue about the site vanished as thoughts of food came swiftly in to replace it. A few hours later, I had come back to my desk and checked my email. There were no new messages, but I saw that the tab with the creature was still open. I decided to click on it and hit go again. I figured Steph was probably right, and I decided I wanted to see what happened when the entity got close. I clicked go two more times to observe and see if it had gotten closer, which it had. Then I decided to just get it over with and hit go about a dozen times before I noticed something odd. I recognized the surroundings. I was about 2 hours away in a city I've been to thousands of times before. I looked around slowly, but found the man much closer this time. He was standing in the center of the street, back still facing me, but now his pant legs were caked in mud, his hair was a stringy mess, and his shirt was ripped. I clicked go again with a shaking finger, and I teleported to the road leading into my neighborhood. I began to hyperventilate until Steph came in the room and asked what was wrong. I pointed to the screen and she stared at it, confused, until it clicked where the creature was. She sat on my lap and began to stroke my hair, calming me immediately. "John, it's okay. I bet it's using your data from Google to figure out where you live. It's doing this to scare you. It's not a big deal." She hovered the mouse over go again and clicked it, and the monster was now inside our neighborhood. "Steph, no, don't click go again, please." I was genuinely terrified, and I couldn't look at the creature any longer. "Okay, John, I won't." She hovered the mouse over the X in the top right and clicked it. The screen went black, flashed, and the website was back. I stared in horror, and Steph stared in confusion. "I don't think it'll let me back out until I finish this thing's sick joke." She clicked go again, and it teleported us and the creature to our home. After a few seconds, we heard three soft at our door. Steph and I glanced at one another, and then looked towards the front door. "Cops," Steph said as she pulled out her phone to dial. But before she could do so, the door opened. Not by bursting or crashing open, but softly swinging open, like one of us were coming back home late. We jumped up and I bolted for the door between us and whatever was in the living room. Steph was already on the phone with the police, shaking and crying into the receiver where we were and what was happening. Steph normally doesn't cry, and I honestly think she did it to get the cops to move faster. Clever girl. I closed the door and slid the armoire in front of the door to bar it. Then, I went and stood next to Steph while she was still on the call with dispatch, delivering a play-by-play of what was going on. "Ma'am, you said your husband is trying to assault you?" "No, no, just someone is. I don't know who they are, but I have reason to believe they were stalking my boyfriend and I." "You said you don't know who they are. Do you have any idea why they targeted you? At this point, Steph opened her mouth to reply, but the soft jiggle of metal from the handle being softly turned caused her words to catch in her throat. Ma'am? The dispatcher asked again. No, we don't know what's going on or why, I said softly. He's trying to get in the room. Can you give us a description? The responding officers are 3 minutes out. Yes. White polo, khaki slacks, brown hair. I didn't see his face. A few minutes went by, and we heard sirens screaming onto our front lawn. The police had arrived and began their search of our house. They coaxed us out of hiding with the sounds of humanity, and we debriefed them on what had happened. There were muddy footprints from our front step leading directly to the door. There were no signs of damage, but also no signs of the creature. The cops recommended that we stay elsewhere tonight and promised they'd keep a lookout on the house for us. We went to stay in a hotel about an hour from our neighborhood, in which we sat in silence for the entire ride there. Once booked in, we walked into our room and just sat, holding one another. I guess it wasn't a prank, I said flatly. Steph smirked and looked at me. Guess it was a scary something after all. We both laughed and then cried. The next morning, I awoke to the feeling of soreness on my stomach. Hunger had overcome me. Honestly, I don't remember going to sleep last night, but here I was, waking up. I glanced over at Steph, still sleeping soundly, and decided I'd order something to eat. After waiting a few minutes, I noticed that the Uber Foods guy had told me that breakfast was waiting for me in the lobby. I kissed Steph's forehead and walked out of the room to go and get it for us. Mr. Smith? The Uber asked, looking at me and at his phone. That's me, thanks. I got the food and got my wallet out to give him a tip. Did you hear what happened in the neighborhood over that way? He said, counting the bills. No. What happened? My phone vibrated in my hand. Payment confirmation, I thought. Apparently someone broke into a house. Cops swooped in to catch the guy, but found nothing. What's crazy is the house had already been left by the owners because some stalker came in. Crazy, right? Yeah. Crazy. Well, thanks, man. Have a good one. I checked my phone, but instead of an order confirmation, I got a text from Google Maps. Your location is currently in use. At first, I thought nothing of it, but as I walked back to my room, I began walking faster, with the weight of the notification laying heavily on my shoulders. My room door was open, and I burst through the door. Steph was gone. The window was open, and there was only a single muddy handprint at the base of the windowsill. Well, I think that tale cured me of any desire I had to go spelunking through the depths of the internet, and Google Maps for that matter. John, I'm so sorry for what has happened to you and Steph. And I hope that one day she's found safe. Please, if you hear anything, update us. As always, if you have a cautionary tale of your own to share, please send it to me at hauntedhorrorstorian@gmail.com. That's all that we have on the books for today. So, until next time, my dear listeners, stay safe, be careful what you search for online, and always remember, sometimes it's more than just a story.